Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We cannot deny that there was an ice age. There is evidence today that there was an ice age where large animals, such as the mammoth, had been discovered frozen in ice. How was this ever possible? Now, I know that there are a few cartoons, right, called the Ice Age. Part 1, Part 2, Part 3 or something like that, isn't it? And then they turn it into some kind of a movie and they have grossed millions of dollars. Now, please erase the cartoon Ice Age from your mind. Even though it is very well drawn, very exciting, with all the music and very moving, especially for children. But this Ice Age is real, it's not cartoon. So I'd like to just simply very quickly show you a few OHP. I belong to Dr. Toh's old school. All right, no PowerPoint, still OHP. I'm not comfortable with PowerPoint. Old school, all right, old school. Baby mammoth. Hope you can see. All right. Of course, not found in the equator, but found in the north of the South Pole. And then they brought it back. And so you have scientists and doctors trying to find out and study this baby mammoth that were discovered. Where did they all come from? Same animal. And then you find that there are also the bigger ones. All right? Covered in ice. Not only one, but there are others. Mammoth, huge animal. How did it come about? How was it possible that there is so much ice that could freeze such a huge animal in one solid block of ice? There is this group of people who call themselves uniformitarians versus another group called people who believe in catastrophism. Uniformitarians are people who reject the global flood. They believe that the earth has always been what it was or what it is today, very uniform. There was no global catastrophe. Now, these are not believers. Some of them might be professing believers, but this is a very serious evidence. How do you explain the existence of an ice age? Uniformitarians have tried, but they cannot find any suggestion that was acceptable, not even by their own. The reason is there is no way you could repeat such an event where you find fast freezing temperatures. Now, these mammoths were alive. They are not dead, and then you put them in an ice box, fill it with water, and then bring down the temperature. They were alive, they were breathing, and then suddenly something that was so cold immediately freeze them, froze them. And then that's where they remain until man discovered them thousands of years later when ice starts to melt around them. And so the uniformitarians, they could not explain this. But those who believe in a global catastrophe, based upon God's word, they have come up with an explanation. Now, what I share with you, of course, did not come from me. I'm no scientist. All right, these are all found from the internet, especially from those who defend creation of God in 6 days. You have copious amount of literature that will help you understand how the ice age is very, very possible. Now, in order for the ice age to occur, those who believe in global catastrophe explain it in this manner. They say that two things have to happen at the same time in order for huge animals like the mammoth to freeze immediately, instantaneously, within a very short time. Turn to Genesis chapter 7. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. Now, the fountains of the great deep broken up, what does that mean? And then furthermore, the Bible tells us that the windows of heaven were open. Now, the earth in Noah's time had oceans. The oceans were not like ours today. What the world was like in those days, we do not know. There is no record. But we know, based upon Genesis 1 and 2, that at first the earth was all gaseous, and then later on it became liquid. And then God raised up the land from the liquid earth. Above it, you have vapor. Beneath it, you have liquid. And then God raised up the earth. And then the people in Noah's generation had been dwelling on the earth. No rain had fallen yet. This was God's judgment against a sin-filled earth. And so, how did God judge? The Bible tells us that the great deep broken up. Now, the first thing that must occur before you can have such extensive immediate freezing, where the temperature will plunge to below freezing point, the first thing you must have is a lot of snow. Now, how to get a lot of snow? Now, it is said, it is factual. Every 1,000 feet below the sea water level, it will drop or it will rise 10 degrees Fahrenheit per 1,000 feet deep. Now, water gets warmer and warmer below. Now, when the water of the fountains came from 3,000 feet below, that is 900 meters, it will be quite warm, 30 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if it is 10,000 feet or more below, that is 3,000 meters below, then the water could be hot. And so when the Bible says that the great deep broken up, number one, there will be lava. So not only will the water be hot, you'll find that this water that is below, when the water broken up because of the lava, it will be very, very warm when it is mixed with the existing water that was originally there from the beginning of creation. So what we have, when the flood water covers the whole earth, very likely it will be very warm water all over the whole earth, mixed with lava, even warmer. And then the water comes down, the waters burst forth from beneath with lava, so the whole water, the whole earth will fill with warm water. And based upon the rate of evaporation, the warmer the water, the more it will evaporate. And that's where you get a lot of snow. If the temperature above is very cold, it's freezing. Now, how do we get freezing temperature? Because based upon verse 11, if we do not get freezing temperature, we have the water coming down, we have the earth bursting open with lava, with hot water coming up, gushing up, covering up the whole earth, so much so that the highest mountain was covered, as the Bible tells us. And this rain occurred for 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 12. Now, please understand that this was God's judgment. This was not normal. They never had rain. They're going to have rain for the first time, and it was the last time for that generation, because everyone outside of the ark died. It was not just torrential rain. It was horrendous, enormous torrential rain, plus the earth bursting open. Literally, the water keep on rising, keep on rising, keep on rising, until everyone was drowned. God's judgment. But from verse 13 to 16, we have God's salvation. So in the midst of God's judgment, God always has a way out for mankind. Noah took 100 years to build this ark, and this ark was completed first. And then God was the one who brought the animals into the ark two by two, except for the clean animals that will later on be used for sacrifices, that God said
seven pairs. All right, that is found in verse 2 of the same chapter. Now, let us read God's salvation, God's mercy, not only for mankind, but also for the animals. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons, and with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. Now this means that the earth after the flood, after the water receded, when the ark door was opened, these animals that God brought into the ark will now go out of the ark, except for those who were the clean animals that they have to offer as offerings to God, as thanksgiving. They will now begin to multiply all over again and replenish the earth. And that's how this earth of ours is now teeming with so many kinds of animals and birds. Fish not affected, because it was destruction by water. The fish continued to enjoy. Freshwater fish, one side. Seawater fish, one side. So God made sure that the earth, even though it was covered by water, very warm water, very nice water, it was separated, fresh and seawater, for the respective seawater fish, freshwater fish. God thought of everything. Okay, not a problem. So only birds and animals were inside. And so God makes sure that this earth will be replenished. And that's why they were all in the ark, to keep them safe. God's plan of salvation will not terminate with the flood. God's plan of salvation is now experiencing a hiccup. Because how many people out of maybe a billion people who lived on the earth, remember they lived in 900 years. So it's not too far-fetched to think there was a billion people at that time, at least, when the flood came. And out of this, only six were believers. Sorry, I beg your pardon, eight were believers. Right? Three sons and the father, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives. Eight of them were believers. Out of a billion, perhaps. Imagine, God's plan of salvation will not be stopped by Satan. The world was getting from bad to worse in sin. It was so corrupt that God had to intervene by a global catastrophe in order to save mankind, in order for God's plan of salvation to continue. And we know from the study of God's word that God's plan of salvation will continue from Noah, and out of the three sons of Noah, it will be from the line of Shem. And within the line of Shem, God will slowly, little by little, reveal to us, it will continue on from the line of Terah, who in turn will have three sons, and it will be Abram or Abraham, where the line will continue. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then from Jacob, it will be Judah, and so on, and continue on from David, and all the way right up to the time of the Virgin Mary, where the Lord Jesus Christ will be born. So this was not something that you and I should treat lightly. Those who believe in uniformitarianism, that this is not a global flood, they don't understand how God views sin. They do not understand how serious the sin was that God would use such a great judgment to condemn this world. That every human being, every beast, every bird that was outside of the ark died. That's how serious the sin was. You know, and I know that God never over-punishes. Neither does He under-punish. God's punishment is always very fair, always very just. And for God to use such a global catastrophe to punish, you just imagine a billion people, eight souls were believers. Imagine that. Eight were believers. That's how terrible the world had become. And if God had not intervened, how can eight people fight against the wickedness and the evil and the sin that they will be bombarded with everywhere they turn their head? You find a world that is so corrupt, so evil, that there were only eight believers. That was the world. And that's why the flood was and has to be global. As you will see how God used the term all flesh, all flesh, all that was in the dry land died, all. not most, all, means absolutely all, except those that were in the ark. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Not Noah. The Lord was the one who shut him in, because it was the Lord who will keep his people safe. Imagine when the rain started. Imagine when the underneath caverns, the great deep, broken up. They must have seen and witnessed a sight that must at the same time marvel them and frighten them at the same time. And now they want to get into the ark. It's too late. The ark had already been shut. No one had the key except God. Noah did not have the key. Or he could open it. He will be asked to open it at the end of the flood. That's what the Bible says. But God was the one who shut it, and that was it. No one was allowed to enter the moment it was shut. It was too late. They have to believe that the flood will come by faith. If they were to believe after the rain started, it's too late. Then they have no faith. And without faith, God says, it's impossible for man to please God. You have to believe the preaching of Noah. You have to believe that when the ark was being constructed, little by little, for the past 100 years, you should have believed then. You want to wait until you see that you believe. God says it's too late. Salvation is never by sight. Salvation is always by faith. Then, today is the same. It is by faith then, it is still by faith today. Now, we only explain about the warm water where there will be enormous evaporation. So now you have a lot of water vapor in the air because of the warm water when the flood ended. When God started to recede the water and push up the new land, which is what we see today. So at that point in time, immediately at the end of the flood, when God said, it is enough, I will now begin to bring the earth back to life. Now what happens? Now, please take note, before we continue from verse 17, look at chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. So it took a long time. So we know that immediately after the flood, the water was still liquid. Immediately after the flood, water continued to be liquid. And there were certain parts, such as the ocean, where the water remained liquid. But there was also perhaps big chunks of ice all over the rest, other than the part where you have warm water. Now, how was that possible? Now, geologists have discovered that interbedded within the sedimentary rocks, they have evidence of incredible volcanic activities. That means during the flood, a volcanic activity must have been unparalleled, that they've never seen before. The amount of evidence speaks of incredible volcanic activity unparalleled before our time. And what happens is this: when there is great volcanic activities, what it means is the whole earth will be covered by volcanic ash and volcanic gas spew out into the atmosphere. So this earth of ours, as it was covered with water, warm water, and then very soon, there will be a ring of volcanic ash and gas surrounding, enveloping the entire earth. Geologists describe this as some kind of an anti-greenhouse effect. They call it anti-greenhouse effect because of this. Now, in the greenhouse effect, where the rays of the sun shine, you retain the heat. The anti-greenhouse effect, because of this volcanic ash layer around the earth, it bounces off, it reflected all the rays of the heat of the sun so that the heat was not able to penetrate through this volcanic ash and gas that surrounded the earth. And that immediately plunged the earth into what they call nuclear winter because of the great nature of this effect. The volcanic eruption, the activities were so enormous that they could only compare this if there was a great nuclear war around this whole earth. And so they call this nuclear winter. And they realize that most likely, if you have this great global catastrophe where the whole earth is enveloped, within a very short time, perhaps even a few days, many parts of it will freeze immediately, instantaneously, like the North and the South Pole. Immediately, it will freeze. Together with the evaporation of the water, you have heavy, dense atmosphere. Great amount of snow will immediately fall because the air above will be very cold, and with the enormous amount of water that was evaporating from the warm sea, you have these two combinations, according to geologists, that will be the combination that will result in the ice age. Nuclear winter. Now, there are examples, like in America in 1980, when Mount St. Helens erupted, there was a cloud that enveloped a small part of America. And those people who live in that small part of America that had this cloud over it, they experienced a drop in temperature. It was cool. And the same was true in 1963 when you have in this island of Bali called Agung, Krakatoa in Indonesia in 1883, Tambora, Indonesia in 1815, and Laki, Iceland in 1783. They realized that when you have this great, enormous volcanic eruption, the cloud that hangs over it, the temperature will drop because there is no way the heat of the sun could penetrate through this ash of volcanic ash and gas. And it is said that in 1816, Tambora was the largest eruption that this world experienced and is credited with causing a year without a summer. We are talking only about a localized eruption, albeit a very enormous eruption of a volcanic kind. But when we speak of, or when the Bible speaks of the entire earth, everywhere you find volcanic eruption, especially from under the sea as well as above. The lava, the water, the volcanic ash that enveloped this whole earth with the warmness of the seawater that now covered the whole earth. That's how the ice age appeared. And then with the passage of time, when this receded, the cloud of ash and the gas disappeared, the ice began to melt, except for the North and the South Pole. And it is said that before the flood, the earth was not tilted to what it was today. The tilting of the earth is where we get our four seasons. That is why in the time of Adam and Eve, they were without clothes and they were not freezing. So all these play a part. So the earth that we are enjoying right now, which we call home, definitely was not the earth that Noah experienced before the flood. Noah and his family were the only ones who experienced the earth before the flood and the earth after the flood. When he was asked by God to open the ark door, he must have seen a world that must have taken his breath away. The amount of ice that covered it, there were vegetation here and there, perhaps those that were near to the seashore, the warmness of the water and so on, but the rest of them, ice, snow covered, frozen. It must have been a sight to behold. And then little by little, when the wind blows, like the Bible tells us, made a wind to pass over, and then slowly the sun light will shine on it, and then certain parts of the earth will begin to melt, and that's where we find ourselves in today. Big, massive block of ice, North Pole and South Pole. But once upon a time, there was an ice age. And only through the understanding of global catastrophe could this ever be possible. Now, please now look at chapter 7, verse 17. God's judgment and look at God's condemnation, how serious the condemnation of God was. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, plural, salt water, fresh water. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. 15 cubits, if you do some mathematics and you calculate that when the ark was fully loaded, 15 cubits was just enough for the ark to float anywhere in this whole earth and will never hit the top of the highest hill, because the highest hill was covered up to 15 meters. 15 cubits, I beg your pardon. God planned of everything. The ark was not designed to travel fast. The ark was designed to float. And God makes sure that it will not, during this 1 year of flotation, 1 year, okay, 1 year and 10 days according to Jewish calendar calculation, it will not hit any mountain. God makes sure of that, that while it floated across the whole earth, it was safe. God guaranteed that. Verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, both of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, except those in the ark, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And then it took 150 days for it to abate, according to chapter 8, verse 3. So it was very precise. It was God who did it. It was from day one to the last day when the ark door was opened, God was in absolute total control. God tells us according to how many days the water will come, how many days it will remain covered, how many days it will take to abate. How can it be a local flood? It has to be global. You have to be spiritually blind to say that it is not global. Now, please understand that this is a serious doctrine. Those who believe that there is no global flood, please ask them to check their salvation. This is not a joke. When God said that this is the evidence that one day I'm going to destroy this whole earth by fire, and God manned this whole earth, and God used this Noah's global flood as the basis, just as it was like that in Noah's time, a global catastrophe, it will be the same in the future, but this time it will be by fire. And God now tells us, judgment will come down from heaven by fire, by fire. No ark is needed, because only in Jesus Christ can you be saved, can you be protected. Why didn't God destroy the earth again by water? Not that it is physically impossible, because nothing is physically impossible for God. Why didn't God use water again? What about the ice age? The ice age that we see today with all the evidence is to remind us of two things. That there was an ark that saved this earth. And there was a judgment and a condemnation upon that earth because of the grievous sin that they committed against their Creator. This is the true message. And that is the message whenever you think of the ice age. God's condemnation and God's salvation. Which one do you want? God's condemnation or God's salvation? The ark today is Jesus Christ, because God sent Jesus Christ onto this earth to die for your sins and my sins. Only in Christ Jesus can we be saved from this fiery destruction. The ice age reminds us of God's condemnation, and the reason why God will not judge the earth by water ever again is because God says the water judgment is going to be man's last opportunity to live right. Because the next time by fire, man will never again be allowed to rule on this earth. We have messed things up after the watery punishment. You look at our world today. You look at what we have done to this earth. We have cut it up and we call it my nation. That's problem number one. This is God's earth, not your nation. That's our problem. Isn't it? And we are most ungrateful when God retained for us an earth that has all these evidence of a global catastrophe. What do? We explain it away. We just simply reject it. We don't want to admit that there was a great global catastrophe. Why? Because it will one day be our own destruction. Because when we acknowledge based upon the evidence that there was an ice age, you and I must realize that the reason why there was an ice age was because of our sin. We deserve the judgment that God afflicted this earth by a global catastrophe. We deserve it. But God in His mercy gave the message of salvation, but they rejected it. And now God tells us that there will be a fiery global destruction. And now God gave the same message of salvation. Will you come and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? That is the only safety that you can have in order to get yourself out of the fiery judgment and global condemnation that will soon come. That's the message from the ice age. What about the ice age? It is a warning. It is a warning to all of us. Condemnation or salvation? Your choice. You and I know that we are sinners. You and I know that we have sinned against God time and time again. And if you are a believer, if you are truly born again as a child of God, the message from the ice age to all of us who are believers is to live right. Because there is so little time to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell our loved ones who are dying in sin. And if they die in sin, they will end up in hell for eternity. They need very quickly to see Christ in us. That's the message of the ice age for all of us who are believers. And begin at home, dear friends. Let your family members see Christ in you. If they have not seen Christ in you, repent of your sin right now and ask God to help you. Make right. Because that's the message of the ice age, global catastrophe. And the next global catastrophe will soon come by fire. And only Jesus Christ can save them. And that's the message that you must share with them, just as that was the message that Noah shared with them before the destruction by water. And we pray that more than 8 would believe. Would you pray and ask the Lord to show you and to help you? Don't just come and look at this from a scientific point of view just to be curious. This big mammoth, block of ice covering, encapsulating this big mammoth, this baby mammoth. There is a message for us as believers left behind by God telling us that I was angry with the world once upon a time, and I have given this world by now. How many years since the time of Noah's flood? 3,000 years? 4,000 years? And what have we done to this earth? We have messed it up the way that Noah's generation messed it up. And you think God will just continue to let it be? Just as God intervened, God will also intervene. It is His world. And He hates sin. And we are the culprits. But as God's children, let the light of Christ shine. For Jesus' sake, live for Christ. That should be our only goal and only desire, even as we think of the soon global catastrophe by fire. Don't hoard. Don't work and serve for the things of this world. The fire will destroy everything just as the water destroyed everything. Nothing was left. All gone. Forever. As God's children, live for the Savior. Let the ice age be a reminder to us of the urgency of the times that we are living in. If you have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, let the ice age be a reminder to you. Believe in Christ right now.
Because the moment the fire comes, salvation is never by sight. It is always by faith. When the water came, those who were outside the ark, when they cried, "I want to believe in Christ," God turned a deaf ear to their cry because they want to believe by sight. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for what You have left behind for us on this earth, the word of everlasting life, as well as the evidence of Thy anger against sinful men and sinners. Help us, O Lord, to realize the gravity of the times that we are living in, for the world that we are living in right now is so similar to the world in the days of Noah. And just as You destroyed the world by water, You promise us that You will also destroy the world by fire. And just as there was the ark to save Noah and his family, You have given to us the Lord Jesus Christ to save us today. We pray, O Lord, that You will speak to some heart tonight, that those who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior will do so tonight. And for all of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, may we redouble our zeal and our fervency for service to live for our Savior before night comes where we can serve Him no more. Forgive us of all our sins and bless us with Thy truth. Sanctify us by Thy truth, for Thy word is truth. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.